Let's pray, guys.
What is this for?
I'm giving you the wrong thing.
I can tell.
Hold it close to your mouth.
Okie dokie. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we're so grateful, Lord, to wake up this morning and to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We're so grateful, Lord, to be able to come to this class. We're so grateful, Lord, to be able to live in the United States with the freedoms that we have. So reminded this week that even with failure and the worst thing that can happen to us, we still live here and we can start over with freedom. Help us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, to share the love of God, the love of Jesus, with everyone that comes in contact. We were discussing this morning all of the nationalities and internationals that are here now. The mission field has come to us. So Lord, help us to be so reminded of that, Lord, and to share your love and your grace and your mercy without any criticism and judgment, Lord. Lord, thank you, Father, for this class. Thank you for my precious husband who has worked all week on this lesson. Thank you, Lord. We ask you for an anointing. Thank you for this church. We ask you to anoint all of the Sunday school classes all the way down to the babies, the children. Lord, that they would all come away knowing that they know Jesus better and how to share Jesus and his love and the gospel better. Thank you for our worship service this morning and all the music. We ask you to anoint it, Lord, to bless it, and to help us today, Lord, that as we worship, that we connect so deeply with you that actually we can go out to serve. We thank you, Father, for this commission that you've given us. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Elizabeth introduced me to this song that we're going to play this morning. And it's about a subject that sometimes we don't think about too much. It's the fact that the body is the bride of Christ. We're actually a bride. And somebody can get the lights.
What happened?
Just another way of the Lord showing us how much he cares for us, how he loves us.
Come every child, clothed in his robe.
Lesson a little different than most of our lessons. Let's start with the introduction here on the first page. This lesson was taken from our book, Has Your King Died? Everybody hear me okay? In the back row? Isaiah chapter 6 shows that how Isaiah was changed from trusting on who he thought was the great king, Uzziah, to only trusting on God. Underline that sentence and think about that for a minute. This appearance to Isaiah after his king died is something for us to consider for our lives. No matter how wonderful our earthly kings and governments seem to be, they should be considered dead in view of our real King Jesus. If we trust too much in the world system, everybody say world system? We're compromising our relationship with Jesus. When I say the world system, you know, there's two kingdoms on this earth. The kingdom of the world, which you can see with your eyes and ears, and all the governments, I don't care how good or bad they are, they're all part of the world system. You cannot see the kingdom of God. It's invisible. So just remember that. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6, one of my favorite passages of scriptures. In the year that King Uzziah died, and he was a good king, I saw the Lord. When did he see the Lord? When his earthly king died. He was trusting in King Uzziah because King Uzziah was victory, had victory in everything. He was a victorious, they had peace, he was victorious. But when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." That's one thing that happens when we really get into the presence of God. "Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.'" Isn't that wonderful? "Also heard the Lord, voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go with us?' Then he said, 'Here I am, send me.'
We will study how Satan's kingdom, or the world system, will be destroyed in the end. We will also focus on our part of that end time destruction. Daniel had dreams. Also want to say here that we're going to talk about Daniel's dreams and also Nebuchadnezzar's dream. There are two dreams, one in Daniel 2 and one in Daniel 7. They both pointed to the same thing, but they were a little different, but they both pointed to the same thing that we're going to talk about today. Daniel's had dreams showing four kingdoms of Satan ruling over this earth. We are in the fourth satanic kingdom now. Daniel's dreams reveal how we, the church, are now commissioned to overcome this final kingdom, which looks very powerful. However, it is depicted as having iron and clay feet. Everybody say clay feet. Clay feet are destroyed by the rock, Jesus and us. We are warned to pay more attention to the clay than to the iron. Let's go to this single page deal here. This one. That picture there shows. Now, some of these kingdoms you see from the top going down, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome, were actually kingdoms you could see. But besides there were kingdoms that you could see, there were spiritual kingdoms that Satan ruled. And they still are. Okay? So it's not just Babylon existed at one time. The spirit of Babylon still exists. Amen? The gold kingdom was Babylon in the dream. In the dreams, you're going to see this. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream and in Daniel's dream. I just want to kind of focus on this before I start reading. Then they saw the silver kingdom, which was Media Persia. That actually took place in history. The bronze kingdom, which was Greece. That took place in history. Carol, these all ruled the world at some point, didn't they? And then the final kingdom, the iron kingdom, which was Rome. And, of course, Rome was split. That's why there's two Romes over there on the right. But it's interesting that the iron kingdom, look at his feet. See the dark iron? And see that reddish, orangish? That's clay. Okay?
Dad, are these broken down in physical form by a man, but they're actually an analogy of physical forms in a world kingdom?
They actually took place, but also they are spiritual kingdoms. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, they're spiritual.
The picture is an analogy of where they are located.
In time.
In time.
Exactly. Now turn around to the back of your paper. The first is the kingdoms of Satan. The back says the kingdom of God. I'm giving you the bottom line of the lesson here, okay, then we'll get into it. Believers throw the rock. You'll see this in the dream. At Jesus, who is Jesus, at the beast, clay, feet. They throw the word at Satan. That's the rock. And overcome. This brings in the kingdom of God. What you'll see in these dreams is that though this beast looks absolutely powerful, like he does in our lives when Satan attacks us, when Satan grabs all of our brain, when things don't look like they're going right. So this is just too much for me. I can't handle this. I want you to remember something. Say, clay feet. The rock. If I throw the rock at the clay feet, you know what happens in this dream? The whole thing shatters. It's hard to believe. The whole beast, it shatters into pieces. I'm giving you bottom lines and we'll get into it because the dreams can be kind of a little confusing if you don't know this. Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Better late than never, right?
Okay. Everybody, any questions on this? Yes, Dan. Yeah, Gold Kingdom Babylon.
But this picture has nothing to do with the church itself, does it?
That's right.
We're aside
Church is on the back, side.
Okay, so
where are the physical? Are these physical places as well as?
These were physical kingdoms in time.
Physical places as well as spiritual places.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
May I say something?
Please.
You know, if you look at this, and you have to take it back in time, and understand that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he was troubled by it, and he didn't understand quite what it meant. And someone said that Daniel could interpret dreams, and Daniel was an Israelite. He was a Hebrew, and the Israelites were captives in Babylon. And they weren't well thought of because they believed in God. But you've got to understand that Babylon was a kingdom of the world, and they had become very powerful. They were the most powerful country. God gave Daniel the interpretation. And he said to Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you are this golden head. You control the world at this point. But he said, there is coming a kingdom that is going to overtake you very soon.
Medo-Persia overtook Babylon.
And that is Iran that we know today, Persia. Well, the man that was the king of that was a man named Cyrus. First thing Cyrus did was free the Jews to go back to Israel. Okay? But the Persian needs government to control at this point. Obviously, Nebuchadnezzar did not know the name of the country. In future, everybody understood, prophets and scholars figured this out, what this was. But the dream that Daniel interpreted was that this was definitely Babylon. But this country, this nation was going to take over, and then another nation.
Greece would take over.
And another nation.
Rome would take over.
And that it was going to be destroyed by Iran.
But they say that you'll see when but they said the fourth kingdom is different.
Okay. So
because the other kingdom's in that clay paper.
So just to make sure that Micah understands, like in Babylon, Daniel would have dreams, so the head was mostly psychological, and like in Persia, when they freed the Jews, it was strength. So if that's how they kind of all relate, and you need to equip yourself spiritually with your strength.
That's right.
And in the head, you need to equip yourself with your helmet of salvation.
That's right.
So
good idea. But you know, the thing about this Medo-Persian government was it had two arms. It was a combination. Well, then the kingdom of Greece, Alexander the Great came in and he conquered the Medo-Persians. Well, we know in history that that happened. And then the next country, nation, that conquered Greece was the Great Roman Empire, wasn't it? And that was a divided kingdom as well, but it was still under Rome. And then the nations with the 10 toes represents what some prophets think will be the 10 nations at the end of time. But it could also be all of the multiple nations around the world. We're not sure exactly. But now you take it from here.
Okay. Okay, let's put that paper down for
Dan
a minute.
Dan has a question.
Dan, yeah.
I was at a Bible study last week, and we were praying about different things, and I was pointed out some of the things that you had taught us about strongholds. And what developed in that Bible study was a recognition that this kingdom, this world system, is composed of principalities and dominions and so forth.
Yes.
And Satan uses these strongholds that he builds up in everybody's life.
Yes.
And everything else. But the revelation that we had is that the strongholds need to be torn down at the level of the foundation.
Amen.
And the foundation of all of the strongholds is lies.
Amen.
The strongholds of Satan are lies. And the word can destroy those
That's right.
break down those strongholds.
Amen.
That's right.
And God can
rebuild. And in that scripture, it says the strongholds consist of imagination.
The word is the love.
Right. And God can rebuild on the level of the strongholds.
You got it.
And that's why, even when you said that, Larry, about it just shatters. God wants us a lot of times to get a picture in our mind. If we can just picture that.
Yes.
That shattering, because he gives me pictures all the time.
Yes.
Because he knows I need pictures. And I have a small attention span. And so when I see pictures, though, I can remember them.
That's why I printed this at 7:30 this morning.
Yes. But if we can get that picture, so when those lies come to try to make a stronghold, we can get the picture. No, it will shatter.
It will shatter.
Maybe not the first day you speak the word.
Absolutely.
But if you know for sure that the rock lives inside of you, and who's coming against you has clay feet, why worry?
Exactly.
Okay, class is over.
It does prove that God does know the future.
Yes.
Come on now. Come on. Okay, let's start on page 2. I may or may not read all the scripture. I'm not sure. We'll see. Satan runs his world system. Now, this is probably pretty, I don't discuss politics. Somebody asked me, what do you think of the election? I don't discuss it. But I think that this could be very timely.
Look at verse number 5 on the previous page. I'm a man of unclean lips.
Man, yes.
That is timely.
Satan runs this world system. He is the prince or the commander of all the world systems that are visible, including but not limited to the financial, political, social systems, and many religious systems. Carol reminded me about Iran. She said, we were with it at a birthday party for a Jewish man that I've known for 55 years. And we were sitting next to an Iranian.
His neighbor,
who had a believer as a wife. She went to Charles Stanley's church. And this guy knew a lot because she'd been working on him for 20 years. But the Lord had me witness him in a very unusual way with my testimony. And so, I think we broke some clay feet last night.
Tell us how, Larry.
Huh?
Tell us how.
Just gave my testimony. And he sat there and listened. He had a good life. Most Muslims have good lives. I told him I didn't have a good life before I got saved and met Carol. But I changed. And I told him how I stood up in front of my son, 19-year-old son, who led me to the Lord. And I said, Patrick, after reading the book of Revelation for 4 hours, Jesus is alive. He is God. He wrote the Bible. He's winning the war. He's going to win the war. And he's coming back. I was standing up and the Iranian was sitting right next to me. And I told him during that, I said, what I believe is that God wants to return us to normal. He breathed into Adam. Adam breathed him out when he sinned. Now he wants to get us back inside. He wants to get Jesus back inside of us. He didn't argue with me, but I wasn't putting pressure on him, just giving him testimony.
Right. Plant seed.
Yeah. Okay. Ephesians 2:2 says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. The commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. History shows that all past kings and kingdoms of this world have been defeated, displaced, and have died. The present kingdoms of this world are dominated by Satan and in the process of dying. Actually, in future history, from God's prophetic viewpoint, they're already dead. All the world systems fell due to pride. Pride goes before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. Daniel's dream. Beginning in Daniel 7 and through Daniel 7:1-7:8, Daniel saw his dream in the form of various beasts, all the historic and spiritual kingdoms which have ruled the world. First he saw the Babylonian as a lion, toppled by Media Persia, represented as the bear. Then he saw the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, represented by a leopard, toppled by the Median Persian Empire. They were all actual historic empires. However, they also had invisible spiritual foundations. Each of these kingdoms ultimately failed. All part of the world system, the kingdoms that toppled were simply physical manifestations of the spiritual forces behind them. Therefore, in my opinion, all four spiritual kingdoms exist today as one beast. Many, but not all, are physical manifestations of all these kingdoms are gone, but their spiritual manifestations still exist. This answers your question, Elizabeth. However, they are subordinate to the kingdom of God. Then I go at the list of what they are there. Now, first Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and then later, that was in chapter 2 of Daniel. Then later on, Daniel had his own dream. Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream about these kingdoms in chapter 2. It was interesting. Nebuchadnezzar did not even remember his dream. He asked his magicians and astrologers to first tell him what he had dreamed and then to interpret it. They could not, but Daniel did both. He told him what he had dreamed and gave him the interpretation. First three kingdoms are represented gold, silver, then bronze, and so on and so forth. And then it says, this final kingdom is very different and interesting. The fourth kingdom started with the Roman Empire, which dominated the world and continues today as a component of the entire beast, under different labels and guises. However, the spiritual foundations of all the kingdoms still exist, but they were rendered subordinate to the kingdom of God at the cross, the resurrection of Jesus. That is why his feet are depicted both as iron and clay. It's a natural manifestation, was and is like iron, but the components of these gold, silver, bronze, and iron kingdoms would be destroyed by the kingdom of God. The spiritual combining of these four past kingdoms on the earth is shown in Revelation 13, which says, "I stood on the sand of the sea, I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority." In Daniel chapter 7, this fourth and final kingdom is destroyed through a process that can be interpreted as overcoming by God's people. Say overcoming. In Daniel chapter 2, Satan's kingdom, which is represented by all four of the previous kingdoms combined spiritually, is shown to be divided or weakened by clay mixed with iron at their feet. It's destroyed by God's kingdom, this time depicted as the rock or the stone that was cut out of the mountain, not made with human hands. It was a divine rock. It was Jesus the rock. Okay. Daniel chapter 2. You, O king, were watching and behold a great image. This great image was splendor and excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest arms of silver, its belly thighs of bronze. This is the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, okay? Its legs of iron, its feet partly of clay, iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed. How many of them were crushed? And became like chaff. Wow, like the summer threshing floors, the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You know, when we're going through stuff, it doesn't seem like Satan's kingdom is chaff, does it? Joanne? Doesn't. Seems strong, doesn't it?
Larry, we're so in this survival mode. You know, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. Looking at chairs and walls.
That's right.
Children and things around us that grab our attention.
Yes.
And we have to find a way to come up here and,
that's
look
right,
and see the Lord.
That's right. This is verse 36. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. The days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands and that it broke in pieces. What's the stone cut out of the mountain without hands? Jesus, right? It broke all those kingdoms. The great God has made known to the king that what will come to pass after this dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Now, that's in chapter 2 of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now we'll go to Daniel 7. Daniel had a dream. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. First it was like a lion that had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off. I was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up. One side had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said this, 'Arise, devour much flesh.'" You know, it's amazing back then how Daniel could interpret this dream, because if I was given a dream like that, I wouldn't know what he's talking about.
So did Daniel write the book of Daniel?
Yes.
Did he?
He was the author.
He was the author.
So he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Now he's talking about his dream.
He's talking about both of them.
Yeah,
Yes.
He's recording what happened.
He recorded Nebuchadnezzar's dream, now he's recording the dream that he had later on. Okay. Verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast. The fourth beast is the one with feet, okay? Clay feet. Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different, everybody say different, from all the beasts before it, as it had 10 horns. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with teeth of iron, nails of bronze, and devoured, and which devoured broken pieces and trampled residue with its feet. And the 10 horns were on its head, and the other horn which came up before it, which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Verse 21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against who? The saints, and prevailing against them. And prevailing against them. Sometimes we feel that Satan is prevailing against us, and it feels like it. Until, everybody say until. Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? God the Father.
Say those words again.
The Ancient of Days.
I love that. The Ancient of Days.
Came with a judgment and made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for to possess the king, for the saints to possess the king. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. 10 horns and 10 kings shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. It shall be different than the first and subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and time and a half. But the court shall be seated. They shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy forever. Now, verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of his kingdoms under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All dominions shall serve him and obey him. For those of you who have been coming to our class for several years, we always talk about the courtroom, right? The cosmic courtroom. We talk about when Jesus was crucified, it was an ambush. He wanted Satan to attack him because he was a righteous man. And he knew if Satan attacked him and crucified him, that would be against the law of the courtroom. Because you cannot kill a righteous person. So when Satan crucified Jesus, Satan was deemed guilty. Okay? In the courtroom, God says, okay, you killed my son, he was righteous, you had it. You broke the law. Now the same thing happens here on earth. When something comes against faith, and she's walking in righteousness, and it's illegal what's coming against her, she gets into the courtroom. And she says, this looks bad, but Ancient of Days, I'm in your courtroom, I trust you. And I'm going to speak the word in this courtroom until the clay feet are shattered and I take the spoils of that demon that was prosecuting me in the courtroom.
You've got to take a stand and confuse them.
What's that?
You've got to take a stand and confuse them.
You've got to take a stand and confuse them, that's right.
Because you have authority over them.
And what's the authority? You have the rock inside of you that crushes the clay feet.
Yes.
But you have to use the rock, which is the word.
The word.
Right? This verse shows how our courtroom experiences bring in the kingdom of God. When Satan and the world attack us, it is illegal. Just like it was illegal to crucify Jesus. When we overcome our attacks, then the kingdom, page 6, of God is increased through the courtroom experience. Just as it was when Jesus was attacked and crucified. God ordained that these empires destroy one another. Each time, each empire became weaker. Each one destroyed by another evil empire. The final kingdom was historical Rome. However, there's a transition here. The spiritual power holding up the final kingdom was destroyed by God's kingdom. Jesus came during the Roman Empire. His kingdom was established during it. Jesus destroyed Satan's kingdom, but we must take his victory and make it real in this world. We are responsible for working with him in this final destruction. Scripture confirms that in this Daniel 2:44, which says, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in peace and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. although his historic kings were manifested in the flesh, their ultimate authority came from various demonic forces. All as these demonic forces ruled the humans of that day, the humans took on their personalities. That included a lack of unity. Demonic forces, in my opinion, have never been unified. Jesus spoke about the lack of unity. I'm going to say something. We need to understand that the reason you didn't go to heaven the day you were saved is because God wants you down here to bring his kingdom in. It's about more than just seeing how we can pay bills, which is very important. It's about more than seeing how we can get along with people, which is very important. The ultimate thing about our consecration to the Lord, our development to the Lord, the ultimate thing about it is that we bring in a mini bit of God's kingdom into our realm of influence. That's why we're here. So when we're attacked, when we're going through stuff, saying, okay, here's another ambush, here's another opportunity to bring God's kingdom. It's not just about how much I'm suffering. I understand how much you're suffering. Excuse me. Talking too loud. Okay.
Larry, may I say something?
Please, I need a break.
Jesus was very clear. And he said to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to give to God what is God's. Jesus was very clear that there's different kingdoms. We need to pay our taxes. We need to respect the government. But we got to understand something. That's the kingdom of the world. And they don't know any better than to act like they do. We're not going to have a godly pastor in as president. We're all disappointed about what character is going on today. We're not going to talk about politics. But listen, we're living in 2016. Most of our culture has been fed the pornography and the lifestyle that comes out of the spewed out of the movies out of Hollywood. People think that that's normal to live like that. But God's word calls us to a higher order, doesn't it?
And now, when Jesus was getting tempted, he said, it is written.
It is written.
That's right.
It is written.
The
word
is written.
His life and death is in the tongue.
Amen.
That's right. Life and death is the power of life and death is in
the... It breaks the clay feet.
Yes.
It breaks the clay feet.
So we have to all keep coming back and realizing, who do we belong to? What kingdom are we in? We can take up stones and condemn worldly people, which does no good. Jesus didn't do that. Or we can understand that in our own lives, he's called us to a higher order. Meditate on the word. Follow him. He said, come follow me. And when you do that, we have responsibilities to try to vote, be responsible. And listen, I'm grateful to be in the United States. I mean, you hear the immigrants that come here and all the things that they've gone through. And they can start over again, even if they don't have anything, and they can't do that in other places. We've got to be thankful. But we've got to understand the times that we're living in. And we can't turn this country back into 1776 because of the culture all around. We're not going to be able to do that. Now, we can pray. We can be intercessors. We can pray for God to put in who he wants. Because the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And God sets up kings and he deposes them. But for us to get our knickers in a twist and come unglued and lose our peace because of what's going on around us, Jesus didn't call us to do that. He called us to be strong in this world. And you cannot be strong unless you're connected to him. And how do you get connected to him? You meditate on his word. You say in praise music, and when this garbage comes at you, you take a stand back and you say, this is the world, and Jesus has called me to be in the world, but not of this world. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference.
And we don't just give up and do nothing.
No.
Because God called us to vote.
Right.
We need to ask him.
Right. Now, also, this do nothing, I was thinking of what Carol was talking. A lot of us, and sometimes I can get into this habit, when things are really pressing, I'll get in and quote that word hour after hour. But when things seem to be okay, sometimes I get a little lax about it. Shouldn't. You should be speaking that word all the time. All the time, whether it looks good or looks bad. Hey, Sam.
We find in the book of Matthew that we have a work to do, like you were saying. Why are we here? And in our work is simply, Jesus told his apostles that this good news of the kingdom will be preached in the entire inhabited earth.
Amen.
And then the end will come.
Amen.
So we have a work to do, a lot of work.
Thank you. That's it. Yes,
can
Joanne.
Can I say one last thing?
Hang on, Joanne's got it.
Okay.
When I graduated from high school, that was the same year that the Supreme Court ruled that there would be no longer any prayer in school. And everybody said, okay, now we have separation of church and state, and good people did nothing. Christians did nothing to take a stand. The year that my son was born was the same year that Roe versus Wade was confirmed by the Supreme Court that abortion was legal in this land, all over this land. Christians didn't take a stand. And it seems like that it's just been one domino after another. It's fallen, fallen, fallen. Now, homosexual marriage is legal. It's just, we just live in a depraved world. Well, we know it's depraved. We all know that. But we're not taking the stand we need to take.
That's right.
I want to go back to something that you were talking about.
And it was like, whether we're in the good times or whether we're in the bad times, we need to be praising the Lord. We need to be praying in the Word. We need to keep that relationship going. When the Jews were captive in Babylon, and then they were freed. But before they were freed, they were asked to sing by the Babylonians. And it's recorded in Psalms 137, by the rivers of Babylon. How can we sing when our hearts are so heavy and we're in slavery and captivity? How can we sing the songs of Zion? How can we do that? And the point is that the Babylonians wanted to hear what the Hebrews sang about their God. And the Jews were so discouraged. And that passage talks all about that. But what we have to do is we have to stay in Zion.
Yes.
We have a choice. We have to be able to praise God if we're in slavery. We have to praise God if we're captives. We have to praise God and be strong. And this is what Larry was trying to say. We've got to find a way that no matter what's going on around us, I would love to think, you know, we all get out to vote, and I love what Joanne had to say, that we can stop this flood of horrible, horrible garbage. However, I do understand that it's been prophesied that we're going to go through some tough times.
Amen.
And if we do, if that prophecy's real and if it comes true, how are we going to behave ourselves? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be able to stay in Zion? Because you see, when we're in praise and we're in Zion, we've got the presence of God. And the presence of God gives us the strength and the position and the power that we need to overcome. And we have to concentrate on that. No matter what's going on around us. No matter if husbands leave or wives leave. No matter if the bankruptcy happens. No matter what happens around us that we're going through. We have got to turn on that praise music. Get that word out and understand that we're in spiritual warfare and that God wants us to be sharpened instruments to be able to handle it. Not in the natural,
We can't pick up guns, go live up in North Georgia. And I'm not trying to criticize people. Get in basements, stack up millions of dollars of gold and cans of food and whatever. I mean, all of that's good. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I'm saying that our strength has got to be inside.
Amen.
And we've got to know that God is our provider. And that's what Larry has tried to teach in countries like Haiti and place in Cuba and in places where they cannot depend on their governments.
That's right.
They've got to
or their economy.
In China, where they're persecuted something terrible, and we've watched that with Dennis in the underground church. You have got to get something that is from the kingdom of God to sustain you. Amen?
No, I'm not.
You know, God doesn't want us to be in a place that we'll be disappointed with God.
Exactly.
And if you don't stay in a steady thing of thanking God of who he is, because he's a good, good father.
Yes.
And he's the Ancient of Days, but he is a good father.
Yes.
So no matter what we go through, I remember when Rick passed away, he gave me a message, it was almost a year later, and he says, I need you to help people that in the end times, when all chaos covers the earth, that they won't be disappointed
yes.
in me. Because yes. things will happen, but our eternity is not here. We're walking through this land. But, you know, really, we need to every day say, thank you, God, that for some reason you thought I was strong enough to be born in this time.
Amen.
This time.
Amen. Talking about this time, I'm not a person that says, well, because we're close to end times, this is going to happen now, this is going to happen now, this is going to happen now. But I can tell you this. Israel is in a position right now that they've never been in before. Not that they haven't been into it for a long time, really. A lot of the forces are going towards the prophecy in Ezekiel 36 to, I think I talked about it, 36 to 38 about where Israel is attacked. Actually, they're not attacked. God draws the enemies into them and says, I want you to attack Israel. Why? So the enemy can be defeated. But that's going on. They're preparing the stage for that right now in Israel and in Russia and in the Middle East. ISIS and all those countries around there. Let's go to page... on page 6, just quickly, where it says, talk about divided kingdom. You know, in their thoughts said to them, every kingdom, Luke 11, divided against itself is brought to destruction, and a house divided against a house falls. While we were in Rome recently, we learned that the physical Roman Empire was indeed divided. Notice in the dreams, the empire had two legs. The Roman Empire was divided into eastern and western parts. First, by Emperor Diocletian in 283 AD, and then this division became permanent at the death of Emperor Theodosius in 395 AD. The two became separate empires. The western generally governed from Rome, and the eastern governed by from Constantinople, after called the Byzantine Empire. And it's because this final kingdom is divided is why it's got clay feet and why it will fall. But the kingdom of God is not divided, and we have the rock. Okay? Go to page 7. Talking about the courtroom, Daniel 7:26. But judgment shall be set by the court of the Most High, and they shall take away his dominion and consume it gradually and to destroy it suddenly in the end. We're talking about when Satan attacks, that the saints have the rock, they throw the clay feet, you get into the courtroom, this is illegal, your attack against me is illegal, and that defeats that kingdom. Matthew 16. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, there's the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We are involved with the rock that destroys the final satanic kingdom. This is applicable in our lives as well. In Matthew chapter 16, when Peter received divine revelation of who Jesus was, Jesus told him that this type of revelation is the foundation of the church. which has access to the keys of the kingdom of God. When we receive divine revelation and speak it out, it works as a rock. Everybody say rock. That destroys this final spiritual kingdom. Jesus, the Word, is the rock. For those of you who may not be familiar with this idea of God speaking directly at a mirror to a mere human, I will go into more detail in a later chapter of this book. There's something different about this fourth kingdom of the world. The Bible tells us that the final kingdom will be different. There will be a world leader or a group of leaders who seem to succeed in bringing peace. We're getting near this, guys. Financial security and health care to the entire world. I believe that the banking systems of this world will combine and be in control of the world economy. There's some evidence of that already going on. In the UN, there's some evidence of that happening already. I believe this was actually put into action in its infancy in the early 1900s in America with the Federal Reserve System. Most people believe that the Federal Reserve is a government system, but it is not. Neither does it have any significant reserves. It's a large banking organization owned and operated by an elite group of financial people undercover. I speculate that this system will eventually bring a socialist form of economics to the United States, the most powerful economic system in the world, presently anyway, and will spread then to a worldwide control of the economy. With economic control, other powers and goals will be easier to achieve for Satan's world. This is all part of prophecy before the end. And you can see in the UN and even in the United States, things turned over from the United States, certain authorities that are given from the U.S. to the U.N. almost monthly. You can see the U.S. government turning things over to the U.N. No, you control this. No, you control this. So the U.N.'s gaining a little bit of control from us all the time, including, I understand, Wi-Fi and internet stuff now. Yeah. This new world order will have a form of peace and prosperity before its destruction. However, the Lord will break up their party. God will cause wars to come against Israel by their enemies or to fill to the full the wrath that God's enemies are due. Read Ezekiel 37 to 38 and see how God will ambush Israel's enemies. It's not real easy to read because there's a lot of metaphors in there, but if you read it, the Holy Spirit will show you. Thank you for the water, Mark. Notice in a few scriptures below how God uses ambush to defeat the enemies of Israel. This is the process of the coming of the end. As I update this in 2016, it seems as this event is being prepared. Just one example about what's going to happen to Israel here. Ezekiel 38, 1 through 4. This is another message that came to me from the Lord in Ezekiel. Son of man, turn and face Gog of the land of Magog, which is the land north of Israel from which the king of God will come to attack Israel. Gog and Magog, some people say it's Russia and Russia combined with this one and this one. Anyway, it's Israel's enemies, probably including Russia. The prince who rules over the nations of Meshach and Tubal and prophesy against him. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy. Verse 4, I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws, put hooks in the enemy's jaws to lead you out with your whole army, your horses and chariots in full armor, with a great horde armed with shields and swords. So he's going to bring Israel's enemies, he's going to put hooks in Israel's enemies and bring them towards Israel. Okay? But look what happens later on in Ezekiel 39. Son of man, prophesied against God. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O God, ruler of the nations, Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around and drive you towards the mountains of Israel, bring you from the distant north. I will knock the bow from your left hand and arrows from your right hand, and I will leave you helpless. You and your army and your allies will die on the mountains. I will feed you to the vultures and wild animals. You will fall in the open fields, for I have spoken this, says the sovereign Lord. And I will rain down fire on Magog and all your allies who live safely on the coast. Then they will know that I am the Lord. In this way, I will make known that my holy name among my people of Israel, I will not let anyone bring shame on it. And the nations too will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, Cynthia, let me get back there.
My thought is that we shouldn't be surprised at how much the Lord loves us and wants to protect us, because he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And this is not new. God has done this he did this in Chronicles with Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
You know, all the enemy came, and Jehoshaphat was terrified. But then the enemy turned on one another, and all of them were slaughtered.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be afraid. He gave us the word so that we could look at what he did in history and know that we are in his hands and that he will do it again.
He will do it again.
And while our knees are knocking, like Jehoshaphat's knees are not, were knocking, but we can look out and know that whatever happens to our body,
yes,
we have already done it, and he has already done it.
That's right. It's a done deal.
It's
yes.
A done deal.
Carol, pray.
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to ask for special prayer for Faye and I because Kairos is this weekend.
Okay. Why don't you pray?
Good.
Why don't you close the class?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like for you to pray for me. I'm having surgery again.
Pray for Charlene.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We pray, Lord, that thy kingdom
as we are coming into election time and here in this class, in our hearts, in our minds, draw us unto you closer every day, Lord. Draw us closer to you, Lord, every day, that we might dwell with you in that special place where we know that we are protected, that we are comforted, and that you are in control, and we know we are not. Lord, we just ask for your divine protection over all of the women that will be gathering for Kairos beginning this Thursday, the 13th of October through the 16th of October. At Lee Arundale Prison in North Georgia, in Alto, Georgia. Lord, we pray for the inmates that will be taking part in Kairos, that just those women that you have selected, those 36 women, will be coming to receive
Amen.
Your word, to have their bondages broken in the spirit realm, that they might be free to see you, to know who you are, and to receive you as king of their lives. We just ask, Lord, that you would unify this Kairos team mightily, Lord, that we would be one in spirit and in truth to administer your love and your being and your hope to the inmates at Lee Arundale State Prison. Lord, I lift up Charlene to you, and I ask that you would move through the doctors as she has surgery again.
Yes,
Lord, may this be the last one.
Yes, Father.
We pray, Lord, for success, that you would guide the hands of the surgeons and you be with
yes,
that anestheticians, and that all will go well. We pray for a good report, Lord. Now surround us all, Lord, with your hedge of protection. Go with us throughout the week and the rest of the month. Be with us. Watch over us. Guide and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.